Hello, this is Todd Durakon with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, November 19th, 2024, and I'm coming to you today from my home studio. We start on the front page. Together Decatur, sight fades, hope doesn't. Visually impaired people learn to adapt via program. And this article is by Donette Beckett, Decatur. Jan Thielen, 63, has been slowly losing her eyesight. "My body has been working on going blind for 9 years," she said. She has followed the doctor's orders, taken the prescribed medications, and had 7 eye surgeries in the course of 14 months. Still, Thielen has no sight in her left eye and tunnel vision in her right eye. She knows she will lose the rest of her sight. So now she was looking toward the future. Thielen learned about the Educational Center for the Visually Impaired programs through the Soyland Access to Independent Living in Decatur. She lives in Clinton with her husband John and other members of her family. After only 2 ECVI classes, Thielen has already learned the different techniques her phone can offer. "I know what I'm doing when I don't know what I'm seeing," she said. The Decatur ECVI group programs meet on the first Tuesdays of the month. Titled Terrific Tuesdays at the Randall Residence Independent Living Facility, 1455 West Mound Road, Decatur. To join the group, first-timers should register. Information is available through the agency's website at ecvispringfield.org or by calling 217-303-9062. During the meetings, guest speakers have been invited to address some of the concerns for the visually impaired, such as the most recent challenge, the voting process. Scheduled training is offered every Tuesday throughout the day. An apartment complete with a kitchen and bathroom is used to help with the training. It also allows us to help people using the cane, how to maneuver through the home and go down steps, said Bobby Claypool, visual coach. Training also incorporates the world outside. "We go around curbs and an easy, safe way to get in and out of cars and listen for traffic," said Mary Thompson, coach and assistant director. Peggy Dyson has been the Decatur resource by reaching out to businesses, doctors, individuals, and other agencies. "We invite people who are blind or visually impaired to come and learn new skills," she said about the programs. "And we don't charge for our services. The Decatur group is considered new to the area," Dyson said, having first met a few months ago. "We connect them with other resources that are in the area," she said. "The coaches encourage those in the early stages of losing their sight to join the program. If we can help them in any way, then they have that memory or that knowledge," Thompson said. "The best time to learn is when you can see," Thielen said. ECVI began in Springfield in 2016. The programs provide training and education to the visually impaired. Training includes working with white canes, iPhones, and computers, as well as daily living skills. The Springfield programs have added health and wellness classes and a cooking with confidence class. "We help them learn whatever they'd like to learn," Claypool said. "There are so many things out there to help, but people just don't know about it." Caregivers are also invited to the programs. "They are allowed to sit in on the meetings and learn as much as what we're showing the students," Thompson said. "Each student's first visit is a meet-and-greet opportunity with basic information such as name and condition provided. The next group meeting will include a Christmas party, allowing visitors to ask questions and learn more about the programs and resources in a fun setting. As a trained chef, Jan Thielen was recently invited to be the first student in the cooking class. "She hasn't been able to be alone in a kitchen for nearly 5 years," she said. "If I'm going to cook aside from the fear of the oven, it's finding the burner on the hot stove," she said about the challenges, "because you have to get close to tell if it's hot. Although losing her sight has been a challenge, Thielen is taking advantage of what the future has to offer, especially the technology. "I tell people, download it and have fun with it," she said about the various free phone apps. "It helps you live with it." And let's see, photo here. It's mainly of a phone, and the phone is taking a picture of someone's palm. Executive Director Peggy Dyson uses the Seeing AI app on Jan Thielen's phone, which utilizes artificial intelligence to describe what the camera is looking at, including currency, grocery items, and people, during a session with the Educational Center for the Visually Impaired at the Randall Residence Independent Living Facility in Decatur on Tuesday. Joseph Ressler, Herald and Review. Little sidebar here, Educational Center for the Visually Impaired Programs. To learn more about the Educational Center for the Visually Impaired Programs, coaches and students have invited those with visual impairities to register for their next Terrific Tuesday program, which will be their Christmas party at 10 a.m. December 3rd at the Randall Residence Independent Living, 1455 West Mound Road, Decatur. For more information, call 217-303-9062 or visit the ECVI website. A couple more photos here. Smaller color photo. Jan Thielen uses both a magnifying glass and a larger font size in order to read her cell phone settings during a session with the Educational Center for the Visually Impaired at the Randall Residence Independent Living Facility in Decatur on Tuesday. And it's a close-up of Thielen on the very far left of the photo and showing the close-up of her phone and magnifying glass. And out of focus in the distance on the right of the photo is a another person who is observing Thielen making use of the phone. And then our final large color photo, Jan Thielen goes over accessibility features on her phone with Executive Director Peggy Dyson. And so it's basically a wider out shot pulled back of the shot I just described sitting at the dining room table with other people. Joseph Ressler, Photos, Herald and Review, and the sidebar hashtag Together Decatur. Do you know a person or a story that exemplifies the best of Decatur? Well, if you do, contact Donette Beckett at 217-421-6983 or dbeckett at herald-review.com. Also on the front page, the Ukraine war. Moscow issues missile warning. U.S. weapons hitting Russian soil may escalate tensions. Associated Press, Kyiv, Ukraine. The Kremlin warned Monday that President Joe Biden's decision to let Ukraine strike targets inside Russia with U.S.-supplied longer-range missiles adds fuel to the fire of the war and would escalate international tensions even higher. Biden's shift in policy added an uncertain new factor to the conflict on the eve of the 1,000-day milestone since Russia began its full-scale invasion in 2022. It also came as a Russian ballistic missile with cluster munitions struck a residential area of Sumy in northern Ukraine, killing 11 people, including 2 children, and injuring 84 others. Another missile barrage sparked apartment fires in the southern port of Odessa, killing at least 10 people and injuring 43, including a child, Ukraine's Interior Ministry said. Washington is easing limits on what Ukraine can strike with its American-made Army Tactical Missile System, or ATACM, U.S. officials told the Associated Press on Sunday after months of ruling out such a move over fears of escalating the conflict and bringing about a direct confrontation between Russia and NATO. The Kremlin was swift in its condemnation. "It is obvious that the outgoing administration in Washington intends to take steps, and they have been talking about this to continue adding fuel to the fire and provoking further escalation of tensions around this conflict," spokesman Dmitry Peskov told reporters. The scope of the new firing guidelines isn't clear, but the change came after the U.S., South Korea, and NATO said recently that North Korean troops are in Russia and apparently are being deployed to help Moscow drive Ukrainian troops out of the Russia's Kursk border region. Biden's decision was almost entirely triggered by the entry of North Korea into the fight, according to the U.S. official, who who spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss international deliberations, and was made just before he left for Peru to attend the annual Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit at the end of last week. Russia also is slowly pushing Ukraine's outnumbered army backward in the eastern Donetsk region. It has also conducted a devastating aerial campaign against civilian areas in Ukraine. Petrov referred journalists to a statement made by President Vladimir Putin in September, in which he said allowing Ukraine to target Russia would significantly raise the stakes. It would change the very nature of the conflict dramatically, Putin said at the time. This will mean that NATO countries, the United States and European countries, are at war with Russia. Peskov claimed that Western countries supplying longer-range weapons also provide targeting services to Kyiv. This fundamentally changes the modality of their conflict, or their involvement in the conflict, he said. Putin warned in June that Moscow could provide longer-range weapons to others to strike Western targets if NATO allowed Ukraine to use its allies' arms to attack Russian territory. After signing a treaty with North Korea, Putin issued an explicit threat to provide weapons to Pyongyang, noting Moscow could mirror Western arguments that it's up to Ukraine to decide how to use them. The Westerners supply weapons to Ukraine and say, "We do not control anything here anymore, and it does not matter how they are used," Putin had said. "Well, we can also say we supplied something to someone, and then we do not control anything, and let them think about it." Putin had also reaffirmed Moscow's readiness to use nuclear weapons if it sees a threat to its sovereignty. Biden's move will mean the direct involvement of the United States and its satellites in military actions against Russia, as well as a radical change in the essence and nature of the conflict, Russia's foreign ministry said. President-elect Donald Trump, who takes office January 20th, has raised uncertainty about whether his administration would continue military support to Ukraine. He has also vowed to quickly end the war. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky gave a muted response to the approval that he and his government have been requesting for over a year. Today, much is being said in the media about us receiving permission for the relevant actions, Zelensky said in his nightly video address Sunday. But strikes are not made with words. Such things are not announced. The missiles will speak for themselves, he said. Consequences of the new policy are uncertain. The ATACMS, which have a range of about 300 kilometers, 190 miles, can reach far behind the about 1,000 kilometer, 600 mile front line in Ukraine, but they have relatively short range compared with other types of ballistic and cruise missiles. The policy change came too late to have a major strategic effect, said Patrick Bury, a senior associate professor in security at the University of Bath in the United Kingdom. The ultimate kind of impact it will have is to probably slow down the tempo of the Russian offensives, which are now happening, he said. Ukraine could strike targets in Kursk or logistics hubs or command headquarters, Bury added. On a political level, the move is a boost to the Ukrainians, and it gives them a window of opportunity to try and show that they are still viable and worth supporting as Trump prepares to take office, said Matthew Seville, director of military sciences at the Royal United Services Institute in London. The cue for the policy change was the arrival in Russia of North Korean troops, according to Glib Volisky, an analyst at the CBA Initiative Center, a Kyiv-based think tank. This is a signal that the Biden administration is sending to North Korea and Russia, indicating that the decision to involve North Korean units has crossed a red line, he said. Russian lawmakers and state media bashed the West for what they called an escalatory step, threatening a harsh response. Biden apparently decided to end his presidential term and go down in history as Bloody Joe, lawmaker Leonid Sletsky told Russian news agency RIA Novosti. Vladimir Zarubov, deputy head of the Foreign Affairs Committee in the upper house of parliament, called it a very big step toward the start of World War III and an attempt to reduce the degree of freedom for Trump. Russian newspapers offered similar predictions of doom. The madmen who are drawing NATO into a direct conflict with our country may soon be in great pain, Rossiyskaya Gazeta said. Some NATO allies welcome the move. President Andrzej Duda of Poland, which borders Ukraine, praised the decision as a very important, maybe even breakthrough, moment in the war. In the recent days, we have seen the decisive intensification of Russian attacks on Ukraine. Above all, those missile attacks where civilians' objects are attacked, where people are killed, ordinary Ukrainians, Duda said. Easing restrictions on Ukraine was a good thing, said Foreign Minister Margus Tsahkna of Russian neighbor Estonia. We have been saying that from the beginning, that no restrictions must be put on the military support, he told senior European Union diplomats in Brussels. And we need to understand that situation is more serious than it was even maybe like a couple of months ago. But Slovenian Prime Minister Robert Fico, known for his pro-Russian views, described Biden's decision as an unprecedented escalation that would prolong the war. We are now on local and state. A3 deal lets Lakeland students transfer to finish at Millikan. This article is by Valerie Wells, Decatur. Millikan University and Lakeland College have reached a transfer agreement that will allow Lakeland graduates to be automatically accepted to Millikan to complete their bachelor's degrees. Lakeland students will be provided with a plan of study as well as an automatic acceptance into a Millikan baccalaureate degree program upon successful completion of an associate in arts, in science, in engineering, science, or applied science with a 2.0 cumulative GPA. For some students, the transfer process from community college to a four-year institution can be a complex and nuanced process, Millikan President Jim Reynolds said. The transfer agreement with Lakeland College provides a clear and attainable path to pursuing a bachelor's degree at Millikan University with the benefits of our unique opportunities, including performance learning and access to our outstanding graduate programs. Students will be able to complete their bachelor's degree in 2 years under the agreement in the following programs: art, art therapy, arts administration, business communication, communication, criminal justice, elementary education, English studies, English writing, environmental studies, history, multimedia communication, music, requires audition, organizational leadership, political science, sociology, sport and recreation management, and theater. When neighboring higher education institutions work together to provide affordable, accessible pathways to bachelor degree completion, we are benefiting students and supporting the economic growth of East Central Illinois. Lakeland President Josh Bullock said, "This transfer agreement with Millikan University aligns perfectly with our strategic planning goal to strengthen and expand transfer pathways for students and provides an outstanding opportunity for students to earn a life-changing education close to home. Millikan Tuition Promise and Big Blue Pledge, Illinois Free Tuition Program, which began this fall." And there's a very large color photo here. First-year students gather in front of the entrance to the University Commons at Millikan University on August 20th to meet up with student experience ambassadors who conducted tours of the campus. Millikan and Lakeland College have reached a transfer agreement that will allow Lakeland graduates to automatically be accepted to Millikan to complete their bachelor's degrees. And there's many several dozen students in shorts and short sleeves, since it's August 20th and bright and sunny, outside the Staley Library. And the first thing I notice is the very large archway of the building. Just beautiful. Really nice photo here. Valerie Wells, Herald and Review photo credit. Let's see here. Woman sentenced for car ramming. Tony Reed, Decatur, has this article. Precious M. Jackson, the Decatur woman accused of using a car to ram another woman in a dispute, has been sentenced or given a six-month jail sentence and 24 months probation. Police reports about the incident, which dates to the afternoon of August 16, 2023, in the 800 block of West Cushing Street, said the 18-year-old woman Jackson hit had been trying to run away. The victim had recorded the attack on her cell phone, which showed her being dragged for a short distance after being struck. Later at the hospital, doctors found she had suffered serious injuries. She received treatment for a deep abrasion to her right ankle that appeared to nearly expose the bone, said a sworn affidavit signed by Officer Tia Kunzel. The officer also noted the woman was covered in bleeding abrasions over most of her right calf from knee to ankle and had abrasions to both feet and other parts of her body. Jackson, 21, had been facing a charge of attempted murder, but that was dropped in a plea deal that saw her admit to failing to report a crash involving injury. She was sentenced when she appeared in Macon County Circuit Court on October 31st. Judge Rodney Forbes also agreed to dismiss further charges of aggravated battery involving great bodily harm and aggravated battery as a part of the plea deal. Jackson was given custody credit of 49 days off her sentence, but the judge noted she was not eligible for a good behavior credit. Jackson is now listed for release on March 10th, but she has other legal problems to deal with before then. The court docket lists her facing a jury trial January 13th on charges of committing home invasion while armed with a gun. That case dates to precisely a year later on August 16th of this year when Jackson was accused of bursting into a home in the 1400 block of North College Street and terrorizing her 22-year-old sister and the sister's 17-year-old boyfriend. Also present in the home at the time were the couple's 2-month-old baby and a 10-month-old baby girl who was with her mother, a Decatur female aged 16. Jackson was described as threatening to shoot everyone in the house, and the 22-year-old sister tackled Jackson and tried to grab the gun away from her. The police later told police that Jackson was angry because the 17-year-old male was her baby's daddy. Jackson, who had originally been released following the vehicle violence on August 22, 2023, had been found and arrested on the home invasion charges on August 19, 2024. Ex-Governor Edgar to talk politics at EIU event, JGTC, Charleston. Eastern Illinois Student Government is hosting an evening with Jim Edgar on Wednesday, November 20th. Former Governor Jim Edgar, an EIU alumnus, will share reflections on his life and political insights from his time in government during a presentation that begins at 7 p.m. in the University Ballroom, located in the Martin Luther King Jr. University Union. Admission is free and members of the general public are invited and encouraged to attend. In addition to serving as governor, Edgar's more than 30 years in state government included terms as both a state representative and a secretary of state. More recently, Edgar was among a list of prominent Illinois Republicans to endorse Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris for president. And repeat rapist gets 9 years, Tony Reed, LaPlace. A defendant who had repeatedly raped a female victim since she was 14 is now serving a 9-year prison sentence. David L. Peeler, 47, of LaPlace, who listed an address in Bement, pleaded guilty to the criminal sexual assault of the woman who is now aged 18. Peeler had been caught and arrested after driving the victim, also from LaPlace, to Decatur on the night of June 11, 2023, on the pretext of needing to buy drinks from an all-night truck stop. A sworn affidavit filed by the Macon County Sheriff's Office said that on the way over, Peeler had diverted and taken the victim to the kayak launch area on Reesbridge Road. The victim was quoted as telling police that Peeler had asked if she wanted to have sex, and she told him she did not. She said that David told her they were going to do it anyways, said the affidavit signed by Deputy Matthew Whetstone. The victim's family had reported what happened to the Piatt County Sheriff's Office, who had then contacted Macon County. Piatt deputies were present when, on June 22, 2023, a forensic interview had been conducted with the victim at the Child First Center in Decatur. There she had described her ordeal and listed previous sex attacks. She advised in the interview that David had been sexually assaulting her for approximately 4 years, most of them occurring at her residence in LaPlace, said Whetstone. In building a case against the defendant, police had corroborated elements of the victim's story by accessing data from Peeler's phone. In the Decatur sex attack, this data had shown him present in the kayak launch area and elsewhere at times that matched the times outlined by the victim. Peeler was sentenced November 4th in Macon County Circuit Court after taking a plea deal that saw 3 other criminal sexual assault charges dismissed by presiding Judge Thomas Griffith. The judge ordered the 9-year sentence to be served at 85% and told Peeler he will have to register as a sex offender for the rest of his life. And we move on to the nation and world. A 4 California poll: Harris would have advantage in governor race. Laura J. Nelson, Los Angeles Times, Los Angeles. If Vice President Kamala Harris were to run for governor in California in 2026, she would have a major advantage over the crowded field of governors vying to succeed Governor Gavin Newsom, new polling shows. The latest poll from the UC Berkeley Institute of Governmental Studies, co-sponsored by the Times, found that if Harris enters California's crowded 2026 gubernatorial race, nearly half of voters would be very or somewhat likely to support her. Harris would have stronger support overall from Democrats, who have a nearly 2-to-1 voter registration advantage over Republicans. About 72% of Democrats said they would be very likely or somewhat likely to consider Harris for governor, compared with 8% of Republicans and 38% of voters with no party preference. Nearly all voters in the state have an opinion of her, and that's really the big advantage that she brings to an early poll, said Mark D. Camillo, the director of the Berkeley IGS poll. None of the other candidates are as well known to the voting public. Still, the poll suggests that Californians could be less supportive of Harris running for governor compared with her run for president this year. 46% of likely voters were somewhat, 13% or very, 33%, likely to support her for governor in 2026, the poll found. As of Tuesday, Harris had won 59% of the presidential race votes counted in California. The poll is the first to gauge how California feels about Harris running for governor. Harris has not said publicly what she plans to do after President-elect Donald Trump is inaugurated on January 20th, and a Harris representative did not respond for a request for comment. Harris has a home in Brentwood and enjoyed a successful career in California politics for nearly 2 decades as she rose from San Francisco District Attorney to California Attorney General and then to U.S. Senate. Several years ago, she opened a campaign account to raise money to run for governor, but public filings show she closed that in 2018. Although Harris has not signaled she wants to run for governor, the idea has been floated by some Californians disappointed that she lost the presidential race. Harris would join a field of more than a dozen candidates who have either entered the race to succeed Newsom or are weighing whether to launch a campaign. Newsom is serving his second term and cannot run again. Separate from the poll's questions about Harris, Californians were asked to choose their first and second favorite from a long list of candidates who have entered the governor's race and potential candidates. Voter opinions about Harris cannot be compared with those about other candidates because voters were not asked to pick between them, DiCamillo said. Including her in a head-to-head matchup with other candidates felt premature, DiCamillo said, because she was still running for president when the poll was conducted. More than half of registered voters say they don't have a preference among the candidates. Among those who do, their favorites haven't yet entered the race. U.S. Representative Katie Porter, Democrat Irvine, who has not said whether she will run, would lead the pack as the first or second choice of 13% of voters, the poll found. Well, that brings us to the end of the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, November 19th, 2024. We'll take a short break and return with the second half hour.